celebration of Earth Day, we're bringing you something truly special, a conversation that speaks to the heart of our planet's future. We'll be playing a recorded interview hosted by my colleague, Rai, and who sat down with Mr. Aang Damawan, advisor for energy at UNDP Indonesia. Together, they explore this year's powerful theme of how can we save the Earth in celebrating today's Earth Day, covering everything from renewable energy, sustainable living, to what we can all do, no matter how small, to make a real difference. So sit back, relax, and let's be inspired to take action for our planet.
On Voice of Indonesia. And right now, we are currently, of course, living on the planet we call home, called Earth. And in 2025, Earth Day carries the theme of our power, our planet. The theme emphasizes the importance of shared responsibility between communities, organizations, and governments to switch to renewable energy to build a more sustainable future. And right now, with the VOI Talk, the title, How Can We Save the Earth?, we have a special guest. He is Aang Damawan, the advisor for energy, UNDP Indonesia. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm fine, thank you. Yourself, nice.
Yes, I'm fine as well. And without any further ado, I would like to say, and how is the condition of our Earth today?
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking about the condition of our Earth today, we need to make a difference or kind of, you know, baseline. So if we are analyzing this condition, we need to check with the climate and weather. This has been agreed by all the countries around the world under the UNFCCC that we need to try to keep the temperature increasing of the Earth by 1.5 up to 2050. And if this we compare to the condition before the industrial level, which is around in 1900, our temperature has been increased by around 1.1 Celsius above this pre-industrial level. So it means that we need to really put our strong effort to keep this increasing of the temperature. Otherwise, we will have difficulties to maintain the climate change impact around the globe.
Okay, so speaking of that, what should people do, especially the citizens in Indonesia, to keep the Earth in good shape?
Yes, according to the UNDP's climate promise, countries like Indonesia must urgently enhance and implement ambitious NDCs, the climate target, Paris Agreement goal of limiting warming to below 1.5 Celsius. This involves drastically reducing greenhouse gas emission, increasing climate adaptation efforts, and mobilizing sufficient finance to support this action. UNDP, including Indonesia, has helped the countries in 140 countries in designing and executing world climate policies focused on mitigation, adaptation, carbon market, and forest conservation, collective global cooperation efforts from major emitters, and also integrating the climate goals into national document planning, such as in Indonesia. So I think these are some of our efforts that can help the country stay in a good shape.
Okay, is there any real impacts, like immediate impacts, if the so-called the Earth is sick?
Yeah, I mean, the immediate impact of this condition, as well as we've been experiencing also in Indonesia, is the more frequent natural disaster. The easiest impact that we are also witnessing is like the floods, the drought, long drought in the region in Indonesia, and also the difficulty to manage what is the harvest in Indonesia because of this long drought season or there are more floods in the region in Indonesia. And we also seeing that the climate change impact may reduce our biodiversity in some forest-free region in Indonesia. This also been impacted by the utilization of the forest area for the human activity. So I think the impact is not good for Indonesia in the longer term because we also will have experiencing the increasing of the sea level that will have the impact for our population that live in the coastal area.
Okay, so based on this year's theme, according to you, how far has Indonesia been developing renewable energy resources?
According to the data from the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Indonesia, from our opinion, from my opinion, still need more and strong effort in optimizing the renewable energy resources. According to the government regulation on national energy policy, 2014, Indonesia actually is targeting to reach around 23% of a total primary energy supply by 2025. However, until last year, 2024, Indonesia only reached around 50% of this target, and only targeting or predicting to reach between 17-19% by 2025. So, the same condition also happened in the power plant sector. If we are, referring this target to the power plant sector, actually, the electricity generation in Indonesia up to 2024, around 85% is still using or utilizing the fossil fuel. And this is really kind of quite big compared to the global energy problem that's only generating around 15% of this installed capacity in Indonesia. So I think according to this condition or this data, Indonesia is still falls short of the what is the target.
Okay, so what are the current challenges in the development of the renewable energy?
According to our understanding, the main issue of the renewable energy deployment in Indonesia is because of the uneven playing field, right? If we compare with the fossil fuel utilization, the playing field for the fossil fuel is still receiving the subsidy. If you are using, for example, vehicle, most of our vehicles until now still utilizing the gasoline or the diesel of fuel, right? And it's still receiving the subsidy. Similarly to the power plant, the coal power plant still receiving indirect subsidy from the government by capping the coal price target, meaning that what is the power plant that's still utilizing coal is still receiving the price cap of the coal by around $70 per ton. And in contrast, there is no quota-unquote subsidy that's received by the renewable energy power plant. So I think this is unfair for the renewable energy development, because I think this is the main issue, the challenge with the development of the renewable energy in Indonesia, I'm saying.
I see. But in development of managing renewable energy, since it has challenges, and have countries invested enough renewable energy? And if not, what is stopping them for investing themselves to us?
Okay, once again, I'm using the data from the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources. According to their data in 2024, the investment on renewable energy is only reached $1.7 billion. And this is quite small compared to the investment on the oil and gas sector, which is reached $17.5 billion.
That's
so around 10% of the oil and gas. We haven't added up the investment for the coal sector, for example. So this is to show that we have not enough investing in renewable energy, and we need to accelerate this investment on renewable energy. So I think, the way that we can suggest maybe for accelerating investment on renewable energy to reform the pricing policy of renewable energy.
Okay, so what can be done to push more people to invest in renewable energies? There are some kinds of tactics and marketing strategies for getting that investment.
In Indonesia, the development of renewable energy is really kind of policy driven from the government. So I think if we want to push people to invest in renewable energy, we need to have a strong regulation coming from the government. But at the same time, we need to have the innovation from the investor, including from the society, from the community. Because if we're only waiting the strong regulation coming from the government, yes, that would be a good basis for everyone to want to invest in renewable energy. But sometimes the regulation also can be kind of challenged by the innovative approach of renewable energy development. I think there's a lot of some cases outside of the energy sector. For example, in the transport sector, when there's innovative energy utilizing the public transport, for example, but then the government still behind providing the regulation. So I think if we can play this kind of strategy by maybe some people, some communities, really quite innovative, when using or utilizing renewable energy, and then the government can provide more favorable regulation to allow more development on renewable energy. I think this is kind of from the community basis innovative system on utilizing renewable energy, must say. But again, if you're talking about a big business like renewable energy power plant, I think yes, still, number one is there's a strong investment-friendly regulation from the government, so they will be encouraged for investment, must say.
I see. And how far is Indonesia from reaching the target of carbon emission reduction since the program has started like 2 years ago?
So this is quite interesting, Marcel. According to the information that we have been accessed from the Ministry of Environment, around 1 or 2 weeks ago when we have been implemented this question, interestingly, Indonesia, most of the sector that being targeted to reduce emissions reached the target, and near the annual target, I mean, right? So meaning that Indonesia is a good track in what is reaching the target by 2030. But this is still the first plan from the government. We still need to clarify whether this is really kind of, you know, aligned with the target, or we need to have more effort. However, there are some sector, right? There are some sector that need to have a stronger effort to reach this. Especially in the coal sector, must say, we know that the coal, the forest, and also land utilization, Indonesia is one of the biggest contributors of the emission. The number that we receive from the Ministry of Environment and Ministry of Forestry, actually the coal sector reached the target. But if we keep in the effort at kind of business as usual, we are kind of, you know, worried that if we still use this business as usual, maybe next year or the next year, we will fall short of our target. Meaning that we need to double our effort, and maybe some of the area we need to triple our effort to keep maintaining this emission reduction target, must say.
Okay, so for the final question, I would like to ask, for the grassroots level and for the nation level, what can we do about the renewable energy? Is it better for like the people, the citizens, start using electric vehicles for their daily transportation? And for the nation level, is there anything that you want to say to improve the renewable energy?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, that from the community level, we can start utilizing some of the local renewables that, you know, available in our area. For example, if we are living in the rural area, such as in the Kilian district, maybe we can utilize the hydro potential to be generated as the power plant, to be generated for electricity purposes, which is called in energy systems for the mini or micro hydro. In the, what is the city, I mean, as you just mentioned, that we can start using the electric vehicle. I think most of the big cities in Indonesia now already have the electric charging stations, so to encourage people to use more electric vehicles, such as motorcycle and also a car, so electric car and electric motorcycle. So I think these are some effort that can be taken by the community. But again, I also mentioned in my previous answer to your question, and how the people can do the innovation. And I think we are seeing that some of the our youth, the young generation, is quite innovative. They have some startups, I'd say, to promote the utilization of renewable energy in a smaller scale. For example, there are some startups and companies that is for installing the solar PV, I think, in the city's area, right? And also there are some young generation that have been startups in providing the energy efficiency measurement by providing, for example, efficient lighting, efficient appliances in the building. So I think with all of this effort taken by the community and supported by the strong regulation from the government, we still have a big expectation that renewable energy, and also we also must remember, must say, energy transition is not only talking about renewable energy deployment, but also energy efficiency measurement. What is energy efficiency? Energy efficiency is the smallest activities reducing our electric consumption in the energy transition. So I think with all of these efforts, we still have the biggest expectation that Indonesia will reach the target of renewable energy utilization mass effort, referring to the early government target.
Okay, so I would like to ask a little bit of more question. About in your remote areas, is there any renewable energy from the government that is going to be starting to provide, like you mentioned before, electric vehicle charging and then like spreading through solar panels and everything through in the rural areas, since it's not a big city and it's not easily reached by many citizens?
Yes, Unity has a past experience in providing the rural electrification project, must say. Our last project for access, accelerated renewable energy development, introduced an FIP, succeeded installing communal solar PV in 22 remote villages across 4 provinces in Indonesia. With our experience, UNDP is helping the government to providing electricity access in this remote area. So again, referring to my previous answer that the local community, especially in the remote area of villages, I think the best way for them to start using or accessing electricity is utilizing their local renewable energy sources and the government, and help these communities by bringing support from the development partners and also maybe bringing support from the own companies, especially from PLN. So I think government and the SOE and also the local partners can to hand back to back to providing this electricity accessing for the remote areas across Indonesia.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Bermawan, for coming and telling us the insights on how we can save planet Earth, especially in this changing of the global world. And well, listeners, that was the interview in VOI Talk this morning with Ahmad Mawan, the advisor for energy UNDP Indonesia, and I hope the best for our planet, and of course, we can live a long life to preserve the planet Earth. And thank you so much, listener, and I'll see you in the next episodes of VOI Talk, only on Voice of Indonesia.
That was the VOI Talk on how can we save the Earth. And before I'll end the VOI Talk session, let's take a moment to look at one real step we can take right here in Indonesia. Recently, the Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, reminded us about the importance of protecting karst areas. That's a type of land made from limestone with caves and underground rivers. It might not sound familiar, VOI listeners, but these places are super important. They help store clean water, support animals and plants, and keep nature in balance. But many of these areas are being damaged by mining and big developments. Once they're destroyed, they cannot be fixed. That's why the government is asking for our help from local leaders, businesses, and all of us to protect these lands through better rules and also teamwork. So how can we save the Earth? It's just like the very recent VOI Talk that we just watched and listened. One way is by protecting what we already have, like these karst areas that's quietly supporting life around us. Thanks for being with us on VOI Talk interview session. Let's keep learning, caring, and taking action step by step. I'm Yunika, and we'll be accompanying you for the next 1 hour. And right now, I will be presenting a song by Alvin Joe with the title Kala Cinta Menggoda. Please enjoy. Jatuh cinta, walau ku tahu kau dah pemiliknya. Tapi ku tak dapat melawan, hatimu lebih ku tak dapat menghindari kecuali cinta ini. Maka izinkanlah aku untuk mencintaimu, atau lebih jelas sekedar sayang padamu. Maka masukkan jika aku mencintaimu, atau lihat yang ku harap kau sayang padaku. Kau tidak suka. Memang serba serasanya tertusuk pada cinta, apalagi ku juga ada pemiliknya. generation era of Polymanum Dance Mask. The spirit to preserve and introduce Polymanum Dance Mask is still burning through her veins, although her age doesn't stay the same. What if the next generation or the era of this last dance has to be direct descendants of her?
Yeah,
other people is fine, but who is his or her teacher? Fanny is my daughter and I taught her how to dance. If the case is like me, I'm not a direct descendant of Miss Ruji. The dance is Nanda, because the name of the era is from provincial level and regency. There is a certificate for that. The maestro title also comes from the province. We as the era have to be clear, there have to be the next generation who learned it. There is an activity. How is the process of searching for the
era?
Well, we are searching for someone who learned to preserve it. Sometimes somebody learned it here, but they definitely must dance, so I don't want to take him or her as the era. Except my outcome here, he is my nephew, and as the era and the next generation of Polymanum Mask Dance, he has to definitely Polymanum Mask Dance, not other dance. If he did it, I would cross him out of the air list. But it's a fraud, right? Searching for the era that has a big will to preserve the mask dance is not easy. Bunny and Granny is one of the era that have a simple thinking. She just wants to dance, just like her friends. Maybe when I was a little girl, I wasn't lazy because I just wanted to play. If my mother teaches dance together in middle school, I will come with her. One day, I want to learn how to dance in mask dance because I want to participate in a competition, so I'm joining the practice. As the heir and the next generation of the mask dance, let me also have a wonderful experience, like welcoming a president to the Kapamu Sandara Festival in 2014. It was the Kapamu Sandara Festival in Sumerangi, and I was dancing and welcoming the president. Mask dance is a form of art that is rich in culture and traditions, describes human character, and guts in several stories. Also, a medium that connects people with teaching and mythology that lives in their culture. Preserving it is the way how mask dance can survive from technology glass that hits young generation today. Because I want to preserve Tiruvan culture specifically by Polymanum Mask Dance, and we as the youth have to have the spirit to preserve it, so it will not be extinct.
Yeah. stops you on a journey, awakens all of your senses. There are smiles and laughter, embracing and welcoming. Your heart leaps to a land that takes you in its heritage, in the richness of its culture, in the liveliness of its people.
Radio Republic Indonesia broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and live streaming on voanews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: People on People, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Kisarani, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.